Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. My name is Steve Kramer, and it is a delight to be with you. I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Glad to be here.
Yes, indeed. We're going to continue our conversation on interdependence. Listeners, we had a great conversation last week, and we couldn't help, Dorothy, right, but talk about Earth and talk about this, you know, this being, this complex structure within which we exist. And we would zoom out, you know, talking about politics and interpersonal relationships and talking about our life with other beings, with animals, with plants, and then our life with the earth, our life in the cosmos. You know, you can just keep extending out and realize that indeed, interdependence is a fact, and we are a part of a very diverse, very complex system. And, you know, as we move away from this idea that it's me going it alone, we really develop this, hopefully we develop a sense of reverence and develop a sense of caring and responsibility for the world in which we live in and our actions. And so interdependence and valuing other life forms. That's what we're going to talk about on this episode of Spirit Fire Radio. Mm-hmm. Dorothy, perhaps a quote?
Yes. this time from the Dalai Lama. Interdependence is a fundamental law of nature. Even tiny insects survive by cooperating with each other. Our own survival is so dependent on the help of others that a need for love lies at the very core of our existence. This is why we need to cultivate a genuine sense of responsibility and a sincere concern for the welfare of others.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
But, you know, this immediately, while the Dalai Lama refers to insects, it immediately leads us to needing to rethink what we mean by being a person, by what personhood is, and expand that beyond an equivalence to a human. I mean, we've already done that, Steve. We treat corporations as persons. Why can't we extend this to other sentient species?
Yes, that serve us so well and support us so well.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. I have a new puppy, and let me tell you, I talk to that dog like it's a person all the time.
Yes.
So, you know, not only that, this little puppy teaches me so much about the nature of relationship, about the nature of life itself, teaches me patience and honor and, you know, how can it be that this being is that teaches me on a daily basis is not every bit as important, you know, as the other beings in my life and deserves, mm-hmm. you know, certainly personhood, that definition.
Well, and this is something that some of our listeners may not have thought about, but other than corporations and humans, everything else is pretty much classified as things or objects that are owned, and it is their owner that says what happens to them. So if we try to take a different, expanded view of personhood, Steve, then we can think about the various characteristics that go into personhood. One of them is being self-aware with a rich inner life. One is being intelligent and able to think abstractly, or being able to reflect on and choose actions, being emotionally sophisticated and empathic, having complex social relations, being able to work cooperatively. And the concept is that if an entity has these characteristics, or most of these characteristics, they should be, quote, beyond use. In other words, they're not just an object for our use. They are a sentient being in their own right, and they have the right to liberty, to be able to make decisions about how their life will be structured.
Yes, and my goodness, I kept thinking of the plant kingdom as you went through there, and realized that every box is ticked, you know, with the plant kingdom. I mean, certainly we could go through all kingdoms, but I just, for some reason, that kept coming forward. And I guess because I'm an ex-New Yorker that moved to a mountaintop for 6 years, I've learned quite a bit about plant life. But what a beautiful, you know, list of qualities. Dorothy, I just before you read that, I realized, you know, this happens so often. And so I'm going to turn to you for advice. You know, I heard myself say, I have a dog. It was like ownership, right? Like, yes. I own.
Exactly.
And I do this a lot, right? And I heard myself, and I'm just curious, you know, as you were reading that, I wanted to sort of pay attention. So I want to go back to that. How might I reframe that? Like, I might say, there's a puppy in my life, or I could say a puppy owns me.
Yeah, well, that's a great awareness. You could say, I live with a puppy.
Yeah.
You could say, I have accepted responsibility.
Or I have a beautiful puppy.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, just I like where you're going better, actually. But I was going to say, you know, I have a beautiful puppy in my life, right? But I like to say that you have accepted responsibility, you know, for the well-being of a puppy. Very nice. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And just to note, plants. If people are not aware of all the research that's been done on the social life of plants and the way that they communicate, the way that they work together, it really is fascinating. One of our challenges is that plants are different from us in two ways. One is they communicate primarily chemically, and that's not a sense that we that is a way that we communicate. And the second is that they are rooted, right? They don't move around the way we do or the way mammals do, that kind of thing. So they have a different kind of life, and they have different kind of structure. But Switzerland has recognized for a while now that plants are intelligent, self-aware, social beings, and they actually have laws to protect the rights of plants. And this comes up particularly when you get into genetic modification. You know, do you have the right to genetically modify another intelligent species? And when you put it that way, it's a little bit different, you know, than the way the discussion is usually framed.
Right, and talk about beyond use. I mean, that really is using. And I know at some point I really want to talk about the gut, but you see that when you start to genetically modify foods, and then we ingest them, your body, your GI tract has no idea what to do with this. It's a completely foreign substance. So you have actually separated yourself from the harmony that is this web of interdependence. So you see that we've got a problem there, Houston.
Right. And yeah. So I think that's a fascinating discussion to get to. But let me just interject first the efforts that are going on right now that people may not be aware of to shift our perspective from viewing other living entities as resources for us in other words, for our use, to viewing them as relatives. And I would really invite people to try that on. You know, try just take a half hour of your life and walk around thinking that every entity that you interact with, every tree, every other species is a relative of yours. They're not, they're a cousin, they're an aunt, they're however you want to think about it. One of the interesting projects right now is the Non-Human Personhood Project, and they have been bringing lawsuits on behalf of specific animals to get them to be viewed legally as persons with their own rights, as opposed to being used as objects by others. And so they have three lawsuits making their way through the New York court system with chimpanzees. And they have recently launched in Connecticut a lawsuit on behalf of three elephants that have been confined, and used for entertainment or work or whatever. Yes. So that's an interesting whole initiative to follow if people are interested. Yeah. Then there are the various declarations that you can sign on to, the Universal Declaration of the Rights of Great Apes, the Declaration of Rights for Cetaceans. You know, the dolphins and whales are, I would say, every bit are equal in terms of intelligence, especially emotional intelligence. And then you have Bolivia's Universal Declaration of the Rights of Mother Earth. And that's kind of wending its way through the United Nations for consideration as a declaration that could be signed on to by a number of nations. And Ecuador's constitution actually has the phrase, nature's right to integral respect. And then I love this, Steve. There are three rivers now that I'm aware of that have been declared legal persons. One of these, the first one, is a river in New Zealand where there's a representative from the Maori and a representative from the government that are co-guardians in terms of looking out for the river. And then in India, the Ganges, which has always been a very sacred river from a religious perspective, and the Yamuna rivers have also both been declared by the government as legal persons. Isn't that interesting?
It's so fascinating. Just amazing. I've been to the Whanganui River, and wow, the life that, the vibration that you sense in as you, are in relation with that river is quite astounding. Dorothy, what I love about this as well is I think that our listeners could really go to any one of these. We've got the internet at our fingertips. You could go to any one of the websites for these, the Non-Human Personhood Project, and you could learn so much, be so inspired by the information that certainly in just describing this process and what inspired it will most definitely educate you and inspire you. So, all of those, I think are such a great resource just for us to even generate a little bit of reverence and to educate ourselves on the complexity in case we don't already know or appreciate that, in the world around us. So wonderful resources. And I love your excitement. We're going to go. We'll be right back, listeners. More on interdependence after these words.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. For a moment, I'd love to talk about the beautiful collaboration and the sense of interdependence that we experience every week between Spirit Fire and the School for Esoteric Studies. We collaborate on this project, and Dorothy and I both represent these two organizations. So, Dorothy, do you want to spend a moment and tell the listeners a little bit about the School for Esoteric Studies?
Yes, thanks, Steve. And you can find out about us at esotericstudies.net. We're an educational nonprofit, and our focus is on providing training for people who have a spiritual practice that they would like to deepen. Our work is based in a wide range of esoteric teachings, and we provide meditation, study, and service courses structured around those. One of the initiatives that we undertook several years ago was to identify and reach out to like-minded organizations around the world with whom we could collaborate. And if you go to our website at esotericstudies.net and look at intergroup collaboration, you'll see a list of the various organizations that we already have collaboration with. And if you have, if you're part of an organization and you would be interested in entering a formal collaboration with us, please let us know. One of our important collaborations is this one with Spirit Fire to create Spirit Fire Radio. And it's a real pleasure each week to work with you, Steve. Collaboratively and interdependently.
Beautifully and purposefully, and to participate. All these words. Indeed, Spirit Fire is an educational nonprofit whose focus is on generating spirituality and finding ways to integrate that into one's everyday life. We are an esoteric organization as well, so meditation, study, and service are a huge part of that initiative. We've got our own meditation practice called the Practice of Living Awareness, and we're about to start a brand new round of meditations, a free online meditation practice, guided meditations, a 14-week program about to start next week on the 17th. So you can find more about that practice at spiritfire.com. Also, we've got a meditation center in Western Massachusetts, and we offer online classes as well. So spiritfire.com for all of that information. And indeed, we are so happy to be doing Spirit Fire Radio and just always engaging and a delight. So Dorothy, you know, as you were talking about specifically chimpanzees and elephants, my goodness, you think of ways in which these very intelligent creatures, very compassionate creatures, the ways in which we harm them, you know, it makes your heart just break a bit. So indeed, the Non-Human Personhood Project, definitely listeners, look that up. But I also wanted to talk just a moment about trees because, you know, I'm an ex-New Yorker. I used to spend all my time in Central Park. I've always loved nature. I grew up in rural Pennsylvania and my dad is a biologist. So great respect for nature and animals. Our house always looked like a zoo of all different animals coming in and out, much to my mom's chagrin. But trees, you know, are so important. As I've moved to the mountaintop of Western Massachusetts here in Leiden, trees are so important. And I go outside in the morning for a walk and it just clears my head. And that's not just because I'm around trees, but it's because they're offering so much clean oxygen. Trees are essential to the life on Earth. We quite literally wouldn't be here without trees. And a wonderful esotericist by the name of Don Nickel wrote this just incredible book. I'm no expert on trees, but I've read his book through and through and refer to it quite often. It's called Trees, the Guardians of Earth. And it makes me think of another book that's quite popular right now called The Hidden Life of Trees. As you were saying, the trees communicate. They are incredible. They're vital to the Earth's life support system. You think about it, topsoil is literally created by trees. When we take away trees, we are literally taking away soil. Deforestation, it leads to climate change. The Sahara, you think about the Sahara Desert was once a thriving forest. I mean, that's hard to contemplate, but it was cleared by the Roman Empire for grain fields, for food, and that created the conditions which led to desertification, which is that drying out of the soil turned into a desert. And you see, as we clear the land here in North America and South America, you can see that the climate is completely changing. You think of these forest fires in California, and it is a direct result of clearing away trees, of clearing away old growth. But this communication, the ways in which trees and their root systems, they literally communicate with each other. And fungi, you know, I wanted to talk just a little bit about mushrooms, which connect all of the root systems of the trees. They're like the Earth's internet, in that they will sense what one tree needs, what is necessary for the entire forest to become vital. And all of that information is exchanged as a result of fungi. And just an interesting fact, if you were to ask someone, you know, what's the largest organism on Earth, you'd probably say, oh, a whale, a blue whale. It's actually a mushroom. I mean, there is a mushroom that extends, I want to say it's like 2.5 miles wide. And this is this one living organism and connects so much of the forest. And Dorothy, you had mentioned that the mushrooms can eat petroleum that, you know, you think of the when the Valdez, that huge oil spill, you know, there were all these proposal to put oyster mushrooms. And if you ever heard of Paul Stamets, he's done these amazing videos on TED. You can watch it on TED Talks, like 6 ways mushrooms can change the earth. But, you know, he shows this, you know, black oily sludge, and it's inoculated with spores of these oyster mushrooms. And in 4 weeks, it's reduced by a third. So once again, it shows that nature really does know best. You know, nature has got the capacity to create balance. And certainly trees are just so important in that. Water cycles, the ways in which the roots absorb water. And then people don't think of it, but there are spores on the bottom sides of leaves that release vapor. So it purifies water and releases water to the atmosphere that then creates rain. So really essential to this whole balance of life. So go out and hug a tree, walk in the forest and take a deep breath and realize that, you know, this oxygen is trees. So important actually to even allowing our atmosphere to be inhabitable by human beings, by that oxygen-carbon exchange. There you go.
Well,
trees.
Well, and, you know, trees can be, or forests can be described as carbon sinks. I mean, they absorbed and they hold the carbon, which we need to have be taken out of our atmosphere. And I just think of an example here where I live. I look out on a beautiful sound, and in the water near the shore, there are several large eelgrass beds, and they are also tremendous carbon sinks. And people, although there are regulations about this, they are continually ignored. They build platforms out covering the water, you know, the water surface, so that the eelgrass beds don't get the photosynthesis action that they need, or they will do other things to destroy these beds and not realize that they are having a profound effect on our environment.
Truly.
Through their actions. And I know we're going to talk more about that during this program, but it's just, it's amazing. I'll give you another example that that we've been focusing on here. You were talking about trees in terms of purifying water. Well, grasses do that as well. And so there's, again, we have a local ordinance, which is often overlooked, that forbids a certain amount of paving over of ditches, because if ditches are left with the weeds, you know, the plant life in them, they will absorb the rainwater, they will clean it and recycle it out. But if you pave everything over with concrete, then you remove that function that Earth is trying to perform for us.
Well, and you see all these areas that are saying, flooding, where is this flooding come? You know, we've never had flooding like this before. And all you really need to do is look at the ways in which we've adulterated the natural landscape. And you see that we are absolutely to blame. And it's this idea of taking responsibility. I mean, you know, it just starts with education. You've just got to educate yourself. And I sense that if people who are not allowing photosynthesis to happen, if they really took a moment and pondered that literally without photosynthesis, the atmosphere on Earth would not have become inhabitable. Life on Earth as we know it, you know, that is one of the greatest sort of like mutations, you know, that life on Earth that ever happened. And so, you know, as you sort of watch this, you know, as you shade these plants and watch them die off, wow, if you really were educated on what you are actually, you know, altering and what you are, you know, not allowing, gosh, you'd hope someone would then change their ways.
Well, I'd like to introduce the whole concept of stewardship, because we talk about being stewards of the earth, and yet traditionally, I shouldn't say traditionally, because there are traditional populations that have a very clear idea of what that means. But oftentimes what we mean by stewardship is a kind of paternalism, you know, that we're going to take care of things so that, and it's all in terms of what it will do for us, instead of recognizing that other species have rights. They have the right to, you know, like your puppy has the right to express itself, to live the way in which its species is intended to live, given certain boundaries and restrictions, so that it can live in a healthy and friendly manner with the human.
And Dorothy,
which is different than just living with other dogs.
Right. And I was going to say that stewardship sometimes gets confused with control. You know,
exactly.
That control this as opposed to steward it. I have to interject that I have to control our conversation at the moment, because Dorothy, we've got to go to a break, but I want to continue this conversation of stewardship. It's so important. So if you don't mind, we're just going to go to a quick break and we'll come right back.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you, discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion. Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Hello, listeners. Just before the break, we were talking about stewardship, and I was personally saying that we often confuse that with, or we replace that quite purposefully with controlling. You know, we are stewards of the earth, and we sort of look at that as, well, you know, we're number one, humanity, and we are here to control the earth. But stewardship is quite different. I'm wondering, Dorothy, if you could, do you have a definition maybe for us of stewardship that would sort of allow us to see the difference?
Well, I think to me it's a matter of shifting to recognizing that what we're doing is working in collaboration with other species. And there are certain boundary management issues that come up. I live in an area where there are a lot of bears. And so there are pamphlets that are put out, you know, every year about being aware of bears, being aware of where they are, being aware of where their habits, you know, of what their habits are. And that's a different kind of attitude than basically removing all of the area in which bears could exist in a healthy manner. And then being angry with them when they come after human food and killing, you know, kill them because of that. So it's a matter, you know, I think it's a matter of recognizing that other species have as much right to define their own lives as we do. And I just would like to remind us the ways in which we use certain animals as objects as opposed to respecting them. So we employ animals right now without compensation. I mean, we don't create old age pensions for them. We don't give them days off, you know, holidays, that kind of thing. But we use them for hunting assistance. We use them in research. We use them in entertainment. We use them in physical labor. We use them for specialized detection, you know, like detecting drugs. We use dolphins to detect mines. We use them for therapy, you know. And various animals may enjoy doing this, but do we give them choices about when they do? And then all too often, when we feel that they are no longer useful, then we kill them, Right. So this is not a respectful type of stewardship to me in terms of how we would be relating with those animals. Does that make sense?
It sure does. What I'm hearing, you know, for instance, with the bear, it's what are the bear's needs as well, you know? Mm-hmm. And we sort of all only think about, oh, this bear is a menace. Well, the bear is just being a bear. So what is it needing? And this idea of being responsible, how am I able to respond? You know, responsibility. How can I respond to this bear in a way that is respectful and harmless? So needs, well, and, you know, recognize and, that it has simple needs, resources, right? It needs resources. It needs food and land and space and to be a bear.
That's right. And all too often we are crowding out other species, you know, so that they don't have land to roam. They don't have, in the oceans, they don't have their space to live and swim freely. And we use language like the bear that I was talking about. There was an aggressive bear in an area next to where I live, and they were talking about hunting it down and destroying it. Well, actually, what they were doing was murdering it. Yeah. Right? But you wouldn't use that type of word. Other words that are used are culling or harvesting, which shield us from the fact that we're actually killing, we're murdering another sentient being. Right. And so we have a responsibility to figure out ways to manage the boundaries so that we can all live in a healthy and productive manner together.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we create illusions, right, with those words. I mean, we really are manipulating, you know, it seems to be quite, there's an intention there just to keep that consciousness of this as another living being that deserves respect and at bay so that, mm-hmm. you know, life can go on as we'd like it to. Yeah.
It's interesting to me, we focus a lot on air pollution. It affects us directly as humans. We don't necessarily manage it well, but we do talk about it. We have some focus on water pollution, but it's usually in terms of whether the water is safe for us to drink. It could be whether or not the water, whether the fish population is going to be made inedible for us, but it's still defined in terms of us rather than in terms of the fact that, if we go back to cetaceans, water is their milieu. That's their home. We don't have the right to pollute their home. How would one of us feel if somebody walked into our home and just dumped a whole bunch of garbage all over the place? We'd be outraged. But that's what we do in water, right? That's what we do that will affect those that live in water.
Even this idea of, as you were talking about, empty space, you know, we sort of think of just... I mean, many of us will think of crowding out or, you know, reducing the space in which these animals can live. But there's an impact with us living on this land that's not intended for us to live on, or really we could choose elsewhere. I always think of, you know, I just drove to Chicago in last May, and we drove through parts of Ohio and Indiana and from Massachusetts to Chicago. And there were so many areas that just have been neglected. And you think, my brother lives in Phoenix, I visit him, and you just see this sprawl, and you realize, you see the impact, you know, everybody's running out of water, and you think, well, everybody, every person, but what about the animals? You know, we're really affecting the whole ecosystem, you know, with these choices to sort of have this pioneer mentality of I will put my stake down, and I'm the first one here, this is my land. When no, you know, you're really disrupting a balance. It's quite shocking. I say, you know, recycle, revitalize, mm-hmm. you know, just some of the...
Well, and, And when we, if we look at land and we say, well, this is empty land that I can own, think about all the species that already live on that land. Think about the species that migrate through that land. There's no place on Earth that is empty.
Yeah.
There are species everywhere that we don't pay attention to. It was interesting to me that there's a very controversial project here in Canada, that the Trans Mountain Pipeline going from the tar sands in Alberta, which is just a huge environmental eyesore on the face of the earth, to take bitumen to the coast where tankers would pick it up. And it's been, the province of Alberta, the government is adamant that they have to have this expanded capacity to create more jobs and that kind of thing. The people in British Columbia, which is the province where I live, are adamant about the environmental impact of bringing this pipeline through the province. And there were construction permits that were issued. Unfortunately, the federal government has stepped in and said that it was going to purchase this pipeline from Kinder Morgan to make sure that it got built, and use tax dollars for that. But just several days ago, there was a court ruling, a court of appeals, staying or quashing the construction permits and saying, first of all, there has not been enough consultation with the indigenous peoples whose land this would go through. And they've been in court, trying to protest about all of this. And then saying that there has not been enough attention given to the impact on the orca populations off the coast because of the increased tanker traffic. Now, unfortunately, from my perspective, they're concerned that there are endangered species that are dying out. My concern is, even if they're not endangered, still the orcas live there, and it's not just the navigational congestion, it's the noise pollution, which completely disrupts cetaceans' ability to orient themselves and move through the water in a safe and appropriate manner. So there's a little bit of time for people to start thinking about this, but I'm not sure that they're thinking about all of the issues related to our intrusion on the space of another species.
It's very complex. You mentioned, in the last show, the increase in world trade, that it was just this from this period from the early 1800s until the late 90s, that it just grew so exponentially. And you think, goodness gracious, it's so complex, to maintain this, to keep these resources moving all around the world. We've gotten used to being a global community, understand our interdependence, but it's not just us. We've got to take that into consideration. Interesting, the focus, it's wonderful that people would move toward cetaceans, move toward the orcas. When you think about a pipeline, your brain goes straight to these pipes moving through across land and mountains and that sort of thing. But yeah, it's got to go somewhere too. So it's very complex. The earth is very complex. Again, for me, it just comes down to awareness. It comes down to education. We've got to keep ourselves aware and informed, because there are so many moves of the chessboard being made all the time, and you've got to be on it. Dorothy, we're at another break, so we will be right back.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, after these words, we'll be right back.
Powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
Tune in to People Like Us Radio with Megan Lyons, transcending the trauma of the human experience. Megan will be raising the universal consciousness by empowering listeners with their own inner strength, working past trauma and abuse. Megan will show you how to find true healing and inner peace through the art and practice of self-love. Tune in every first and third Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. For more information about Megan and her work, visit enterthelightllc.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst? Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, navigating through life's transitions with Shelley Ryan the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next!
Welcome back, listeners. We are going to continue our discussion on valuing other life forms. This is an entire month being spent on interdependence. Dorothy, we're on our last segment, so I want to wrap things up. We will often talk, Dorothy, about ways in which we can sort of generate balance within whatever topic we're talking about. So Any final words on ways in which we can generate some balance within, you know, the variety of life forms here on Earth?
I think, first of all, you know, we started this hour talking about redefining personhood. And I think it's helpful to think about the rights that we want and that other species would also then want and be entitled to. So if we talk, we can talk about two types of rights. One is what's called negative rights, or what entities are entitled to. And so if you just think about your relationship with other species and let these sink in, the right to life without threat of unnatural death, freedom from slavery and not being a property of another, freedom from kidnapping, torture, or experimentation, freedom from servitude or inhumane treatment, and the freedom to live in one's natural habitat. So those are all entitlements. And then there are positive rights of what entities ought to be assured of. So being treated with respect and dignity, being allowed to develop one's own personality, just and favorable remuneration for work, which is relevant to what I was saying about animals currently employed without compensation, the right to rest and periodic holidays, and the right to develop within one's own community. And all too often, we separate individuals off from others of their own species and don't give them opportunities to interact. So this is, you know, these are all things that we can keep in mind, Steve, as we think about how to create appropriate boundaries, you know, not only how we treat others, but also how to create boundaries between species that live life in different ways.
Wow. And Dorothy, I'm curious where those came from.
Is
the only reason I ask, is it seems like something be nice, to read that quite often, to remind ourselves of that.
Well, I have them in my book, The Principles of Abundance for the Cosmic Citizen, but I drew them from the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
Ah, yes, and then extended to all beings. Nice. Yeah,
that's right. Exactly.
Because this idea, the right to rest and periodic holidays. I mean, we've actually seen that. I mean, we've seen that in terms of horses, right? I can think of a number of animals that, you know, that animal rights groups have really brought that forward, and we see that happening. Certainly not as much as we could across the board, but that one stood out as a yes, you know, so beautifully put. Yeah.
Well, and also being allowed to develop one's own personality.
Yeah.
As opposed to being forced to behave in particular ways or to react in particular ways. I'm thinking about an interview that I heard with somebody who has a dog who's used as a therapy dog in a senior facility. And she was talking about how she doesn't necessarily take the dog every day because she says sometimes you can just tell that they're not in the mood. You know, it's not a good day. And so she gives it a day off. Well, that's a level of sensitivity that often doesn't exist.
Beautiful. There's a new documentary coming out, I think in a couple weeks, that is called, I think, Pick of the Litter, that's about this process of training seeing eye dogs. And I look forward to, you know, watching that documentary through this lens. I think it will be very interesting to sort of, I will learn a lot. I don't know what the answers will be, but I'm going to look to this list and sort of hold it up and see how it plays out. I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm.
It really does, you know, it comes down to needs. You know, what is the need of another? I mean, that is a sentient being. It is aware.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got a level of awareness. And what does this being need? And how can we support that this being can generate and expand its awareness and not limit seems to be very important.
Yeah. Well, one of the examples that I read about appropriate boundary management, I just wanted to share. I forget which nation in Africa this took place, but they were trying to figure out how to have villages coexist with wild predators, you know, lions, tigers, that kind of thing, without killing the predators. And so what they did was, because there was livestock there, you know, cattle, sheep, that kind of thing. And so what they did was they put around the boundary of the livestock blinking lights that would come on and would warn the predators to stay away. And they were able to work out something that did work. So now, of course, in order for that to work, the predators had to have someplace else where they could get food, because if they are starved of all food, right, by limiting the acreage where they can roam, Well, then sooner or later, they're going to figure out that they can get right through those blinking lights and have a tasty snack of a cow.
Yeah.
It's a matter of thinking about it and believing, taking seriously that we all have a right to exist. It's not just humans that have the right to exist.
Yeah, and for now, they're not getting tangled up in horrific barbed wire or something like that, you know.
Yes.
Where we're just looking for a quick means to an end, you know, from our own capacity to solve an immediate problem. Mm-hmm. Wow, Dorothy, wonderful, really beautiful points being made, and I'm already feeling like I want to get outside and go be with a tree or with my puppy.
Your puppy?
See, Dorothy, I did it again. Be with
now, you could say my favorite puppy.
Oh, there you go. My favorite.
Which doesn't have the ownership thing, but.
You know, always learning, always growing, and always smiling with it. You know, listeners, I would also just say, man, if you haven't watched, you know, the David Attenborough series, Planet Earth, and they've just come out with a second one called Planet Earth 2, you can't help but watch that and just feel the beauty and just generate reverence for this world we live in and for wonderful photographers and for the invention of amazing lenses that they can put on cameras. But just something so simple, you know, just to educate ourselves and to find ways to generate reverence and awe and wonder, you know, stay active, participate. So necessary to creating balance with intention, with good intention. Well, Dorothy, thank you once again for a great conversation, and we will continue for the next few weeks talking about interdependence. So I know you'll join me, Dorothy, and I hope our listeners will do the same. It's been a treat.
It has been a treat, Steve. Goodbye, everyone.
You have a great one.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.